Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Lord and Redeemer. Amen. I don't know whether you're into surveys and statistics and all that kind of thing, but Tearfund, the Christian Relief and Development Agency, a year or so ago published a survey about people's praying habits. And the results were quite interesting. It showed that one in two adults, 51%, in the UK pray. And even among those who say they're not religious, one in five say that they pray, suggesting that prayer is still important to many people. And among those who pray, over half say they're most likely to pray in a crisis. The next most common reason cited by those who pray is because they believe in God or because they believe that prayer makes a difference. And the Bible has much to say about prayer. We've heard just two passages this morning. First one, Hannah's prayer in the Old Testament, and Jesus' teaching on prayer in the Sermon on the Mount, giving his listeners a model for prayer, which of course we use today, the Lord's Prayer, probably the most famous prayer in the world. And many Christian authors have also written on the subject of prayer over the centuries. There are many writings on the subject of prayer. And one of the best books I found on prayer in very recent times is Pete Gregg's book, How to Pray. I found it just brilliant, down to earth, aimed at so-called normal people, as he puts it. I do wonder if we as Christians may have overcomplicated prayer at times. Maybe too many long words, maybe somewhat unfamiliar language. I don't know. The simplest prayer I ever heard was summed up in one word, help. I'm sure all of us have prayed a prayer like that at some point in our lives. Help. This morning, as we consider the next of our themes in our sermon series, Who on Earth Are We?, we're going to think and reflect for a few moments on what it is to be prayerful people. As the church, we surely should be prayerful people. As we saw in the survey on prayer, probably what calls us most to pray is because we want God to do something. It might be a crisis that has prompted our prayer, but we want God to listen and to respond, to come to God in prayer with a please. Please, God, can you provide what I'm asking for? Please, can you help me? Please, can you be with my family member who is unwell? Please, be with my neighbour who's awaiting surgery. Please, be with my grandchild who's struggling at school. We say, please. In our Matthew reading, we heard, give us this day our daily bread as part of the Lord's Prayer. And it's a reminder, of course, that all we have comes from God. And of course, in some of the very poorest parts of the world, that prayer is ever more real, where there may be no food on the table and uncertainty as to whether there'll be food when it will come again. Please, God. It's now just over 6 months since the lockdown was enforced, through which our everyday lives have changed quite dramatically. And I know this national and global crisis has prompted a please, God, in our praying for many of us, perhaps even a bit of a wake-up call to pray. Please be with the medical staff. Please, God, be with those who are sick. Please be with those who've lost loved ones. Please help the scientists find a vaccine. Please, God. Are we now more of a church on its knees, as it were, called to reach out and pray, to seek God and ask for his help? I was part of a WhatsApp group, which you do on your mobile phone, in those early weeks of lockdown, which very quickly became a safe space for people to articulate their prayer needs. And it was so encouraging to see people express their need of God that we may not have heard about in more normal times. In these last few weeks, one of the things we've set up across the benefice is a benefice-wide Facebook page. I know Facebook's not everyone's thing. Some of you may even think, what's she talking about? But we do have Facebook. As churches, we're looking to reach out to new generations for whom communicating via social media is very normal. And on our church's page, SWCD, we schedule posts to appear every day and are a kind of Christian presence on social media as we reach out to these challenging times. And in the last few days, we posted a notice inviting people to submit prayer requests if they wished. And it was really encouraging to see a response from someone who, as far as I know, is not a churchgoer. I certainly didn't recognise their name, but wanted prayer for a very sick little girl. Please God, was his prayer. And the Lord's Prayer, back into Matthew again, goes on with more requests. Forgive us our debts. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. We have many things that we want to ask God for, not so that prayer becomes like a spiritual shopping list, but because God longs to hear us pray and talk to him with our needs. And the Lord's Prayer, of course, is an excellent place to start. There is also a wealth of resources and prayers on the Church of England website under prayer, as well as many books written on prayer. Hannah's prayer that we read in 1 Samuel was something of an outpouring of praise and worship to God. And there are clearly similarities between Hannah's prayer and Mary's song of praise, or the Magnificat, in the New Testament. Hannah had spent many years praying for a son, and in due course her prayer was answered, and she gave birth to Samuel, who she then gave back to God in thanks. Samuel was dedicated to God in the temple, and Hannah expressed her joy for this answered prayer. And as well as asking God for his help, which we do, prayer also calls us to praise God for who he is. And this may well follow on from an answer to prayer. Perhaps you're familiar with the acrostic that sometimes can be used as a pattern for prayer, the word ACTS: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Prayer should surely start with adoration, praising God for who he is. When I settle to pray each morning, I often begin by reading a psalm. It may be the one set for the day. The Psalms are a glorious and rich prayer book with beautiful language and poetry, with many psalms of praise. And it's good to praise and worship God before moving on into the other aspects of prayer. In Pete Gregg's book that I mentioned a minute ago, he mentions a number of prayer heroes. Not sure what I think about that kind of heading, but bear with me. One of them is Brother Lawrence. No relation to me, or to Kevin, sadly, but her brother Lawrence joined a Carmelite monastery in Paris in 1651 and spent the rest of his life there doing very menial jobs in the kitchen. Yet through those daily tasks, found himself as a worshipper, practising the presence of God, finding God in the ordinary, fixing his gaze on God and praising him through those ordinary everyday tasks. The second line of the Lord's Prayer is, hallowed be your name. Or put another way, may God's name be holy. Praising God for his goodness, his greatness, awesomeness and majesty before moving on into the other aspects of the prayer. If we're honest though, prayer can sometimes feel really tough. And we may feel as though we want to give up, feeling unsure as to whether God is even listening to us. I'm sure many of us can resonate with that thought. I know that I can at times. But God calls his people to persist in prayer, to push on and through, even when it might feel we're not making any progress. And sometimes prayer can take years and years and years. And I'm sure many of you can testify to that, prayer taking a long time. There are many stories of people who have had to persist in prayer before seeing any answer. And we are called to persist and wrestle in prayer. And at this time, it's often when we grow in our faith and spiritual maturity through those kind of testing times. Some years ago, when I was part of a church family in Shrewsbury, I recall three quite elderly ladies who were fairly frail and unable to get out and about and be as physically active in the church as they had used to be. But unknown to many of us, quietly behind the scenes, they prayed as a trio, the three of them, faithfully and persistently for God to move in their locality. They really were out-and-out prayer warriors, ordinary working-class women called to pray. And after many years of their praying, a new church plant was birthed on the estate where they lived. Such an amazing answer to prayer for this ordinary community. And a couple of those ladies, sadly, didn't even live to see that day when the church was birthed and open. But I'm sure they were rejoicing in heaven. I'm equally sure we have some prayer warriors in this community, earnestly and persistently praying. We often focus on the great and the good in the Christian world, but let's also celebrate the prayers who are often unsung, everyday people. A few years ago, some Christians would wear a wristband with the word push on it. Pray until something happens. And this is the kind of praying that Jesus calls us to. This was Hannah's experience and the experience of many others. Keep praying, persist, push. Being in the midst of a global pandemic may require us to persist in prayer. We're probably feeling utterly fed up and dismayed at the prospect of a further, well, nearly up to further, 6 further months of restrictions and disruption to our lives. But can I urge you to persist in prayer? Don't give up. As praying people, as a praying church community, there are some practical things we can do. One of the things is we have a prayer chain across our benefice. You may not be familiar with this concept, but the prayer chain is a group of people who've committed to pray for individual needs, whilst, of course, maintaining confidentiality. If you're interested in being part of that chain, do have a word with me, and I can put you in touch with the relevant people. So there's the prayer chain. Prayer meetings. There are going to be some online opportunities. Well, sadly online, because that's the way we have to go at the moment. Online prayer opportunities coming up on Tuesday early mornings and Saturday evenings, early evening. Again, watch Lifeline or talk to me for more details. Because it's good to come and pray together corporately, informally, as also in addition to Sunday mornings as we pray corporately. But if neither of those work for you, and that may be the case, how about praying through some of the Psalms privately at home? Reading through the Psalms as part of your pattern of prayer. A really good way to pray. The prayers are there in the Psalms. As I finish, do be encouraged. A wise piece of advice once given to me was, pray as you can, not as you can't. Pray as we can, not as we can't. Whether you feel a beginner at prayer or a seasoned prayer warrior or somewhere in between, let simple, uncomplicated prayer from our hearts underpin all that we do as we seek to make God known in this church and our wider benefice. So let's pause and let's pray. Lord Jesus, would you give us the desire and the hunger to pray? Would you strengthen our prayer lives, both as individuals and corporately, for the growth of your kingdom? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.